Well, good morning. Hopefully everyone is doing good. Today we start a new series of classes. This is our summertime classes, and we'll have multiple speakers during the 13-week period. On Wednesday night, if you read the bulletin, then you have some information already in regards to some of the uniqueness of the classes for Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But Wednesday night will be a little bit different than we have been doing in the past. Of course, in the past we had summer series on every Wednesday night, and this year we're doing something that pertains to the entire family on Wednesday night. And we will have our multiple speakers, chosen speakers from amongst the congregation during this particular time. And we're focusing on the Christian and his influence. And so we're going to talk about influence. One of the reasons why I don't like to write on the board, somebody said to me earlier they didn't like to write on the board because they couldn't spell. I said, well, I can spell, I just can't spell correctly. So it doesn't bother me a bit. Half of y'all don't know what I'm writing anyway. So some of you can't even see. So you can't tell whether or not I'm spelling it correctly or not. Some of you can't read. No, most of you probably can read. So, but this is Texas, not Oklahoma, right? So, but we're all right. Let me talk about influence. As you can see, I've already developed an influence, right? A poor one, but it's an influence. We're going to be talking about that. Several speakers have several different lessons. Here are a few of the lessons that we're going to cover during this particular quarter. Today we're going to talk about the fact that we have it, what is it, and how important it is to our Christian life. Of course, we're going to be talking about ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. We're going to be speaking of the fact that you and I are the manifest declaration or a declaration of the epistle of Christ. It's a particular phrase that's used by Paul to the Corinthians. We're going to be talking about the Christian and his influence in the community, Christian and his influence on the job, Christian and his influence in the local church, Christian and his influence in the home, your influence to win souls, your influence to strengthen your brethren, posthumous, which is after a lot of laughter, right? That's what we're going to be talking about as far as influence is concerned, and the influence of Christ and the Bible. And those are going to be some of the subject matters that we're going to be talking about during this particular time. But what I would like for us to do is talk about maybe just a couple of questions would be good to start out. What is influence? And as you can see, that is a question mark at the end. What is influence? When you think of influence, what exactly comes to your mind? Influence.
Being able to affect.
Okay, being able to affect something, right? Or someone.
Well, action or opinion.
Okay.
Guidance.
Guidance would certainly be a part of that. What else? Influence.
To do the wrong thing.
Okay. What we do then has a power of influence, right? Either for good or bad. So that would certainly be a part of the definition. Influence.
You could put a peer pressure in there.
Peer pressure would be a part of that, right? Pressure, the exerting of pressure is a part of an understanding of the definition of influence.
It's how other people see you, understand you.
Okay, that's exactly right. Whether or not it's good or bad influence, whether or not it repels or reflects, is how other people see it oftentimes. Yes, sir?
It's Matthew 5:16.
Okay, now you're jumping ahead of me, Doc. You got to hold off now. I want to look at some scriptures in just a minute that come to our mind when we deal with influence. And when we're talking about influence, there are certain passages that come to our mind, and you've already mentioned one. We'll get to that one in just a minute. Let's very briefly look at some definitions of influence. If we're going to talk about influence, then we do certainly want to know the definition of what we're talking about. Literally in the, and there are several words, there's at least 10 words in the Greek and 4 words in the Hebrew in your Bibles that talk about something to do with influence, but I would suggest to you that there are a host of others that have the implication of influence. Let me just suggest a word that we normally would not put out as far as influence: shadowing. Shadowing implies that there is an influence. The sun is beating down on you and you step underneath the shadow of a tree. There is an influence of that tree on you and those that it is shadowing. And so even that word suggests the idea of some kind of influence. So don't limit it. When we talk about influence, I don't want you to limit it in your mind just to the concept of influence, the word that we would normally think about that. Now, in a general sense, it's the word inspiration. I want you to think about the word inspiration in refer to influence. Influence simply means basically to flow into. There is an in, from one item to another item, something is flowing, and so there is inflow. Okay? Now, inspiration is the exhaling of that influence. And when I receive it and it alters who I am, good or bad, in the direction that I'm going, if it's inspiration, then it's designed for good, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we'll get to in just a minute. But that's the ideal of influence, you see. Influence is that flow out of and into something else. And it changes the substance or the character of someone or something. Oftentimes, influence is generally perceived as something that is invisible. Okay? We're not talking about, now, you can have influence. I can influence you to back up by pushing you backwards, right? But generally, we think of influence as something that is designed, that is unseen, but at the same time has a motivating factor upon individuals. So in a general sense, influence denotes power. So think about the references then in your mind to the Word of God as an exerting of power. That's influence, you see. The power which exerts a moral influence, the power of truth on the operating of the mind, the rational faculties of the mind, and changing and altering the way that a person thinks, all of that would be included in the concept of influence. So with that in mind, let's talk about some scripture. Scriptural references. That is an E. And if I can't spell it on the dot, I'll just put a few dots there and you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Like I said, I can spell. I just can't spell correctly oftentimes. So, scriptural references. When you think of influence, the scripture, I'll say Matthew, right? Matthew 5. Let's go 13 through 16, right? Brother Hall mentioned that one earlier, that you are the salt of the earth, verse number 13. That's going to be a specific lesson. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, what? Cannot be hid. You see, we're dealing with the influence of a city's light at that particular point. Now, light then is a reference to our influence. It cannot be hid. The influence of that city cannot be hid if it's on a hill, right? Okay? Other passages that reference influence in your mind. When you think of influence, what passage?
I am the way.
I am. Okay. So any passage that would deal with I am, John 8:58, he says, before Abraham was, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the shepherd, shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. All of those statements are designed to influence. I am the light of the world. You see, John chapter 8 and verse number 12 in particular, let's just go ahead and put that one up there. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What else?
Galatians chapter 4, when Paul is talking to the Galatians and he's saying that they were zealously affected, I think of influence. They were influenced to do the wrong thing, but he says it's always good to be zealously affected in a good way.
In a good way, and you have that
in
verse?
16 and 17.
Okay, good. Because I didn't have it off the top of my head. but wait, being affected, right? That's what we're dealing with. Being affected there is the key element. And the manner in which one is influenced deals with the idea of zealously affected. Very good. Other passages.
I think about John 3:16 because God is love. And that led to Him to do.
Okay, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever, there's an influence there in the gift, right? Gifts generally, by their very definition, have a sense of influence, right? In fact, somebody might want to look this up, but the proverb writer down toward the end of Proverbs 20 and beyond, I think, makes reference to not receiving gifts that are given with something attached to them, you see. And so an underhanded gift then is what is being spoken of there. Not just a gift, but a gift that comes with a particular attachment. I give you this if you will do this for me. Yes, sir.
1 Peter 3:2. Wives, when they observe or behold your chaste conversation, manner of life, so husbands and wives should be able to determine or see the influence. Husbands are to dwell within knowledge. That knowledge should be apparent and understood.
And she has an influence, and you should understand what that is and how to deal with. Absolutely. Very good. Yep. Very good. Other passages that come to mind.
Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, very good passage with regards to that. A prophecy out of Joel, right? And he's going to explain what it means to call upon the name of the Lord in that. And there's the influence, by the way, the influence of preaching in regards to that. The preacher, or the preaching by its very design, is designed to shape the hearts of men. The hearts and the minds of men. And so the preaching of God's Word is designed to change us, alter us. It's designed to have an influence on us. All right, what else? Other passages. Yes?
Matthew 13:33.
Absolutely. There's a lot of parables in which Jesus deals with that kind of influence, and that's an excellent one there. And you have the ideal that in the parable of the sower, even, that some yield greater increase than others. In other words, the Word of God has a greater influence on some than it does others. It will produce 30 and some 60 and some 100. A greater influence in that sowing and reaping process. Very good.
The whole book of Job is now influenced.
The whole book of Job, okay. That is true, by the way. That's a great study in Job. We see the influence that God had on Job, the influence Job had on his family and others. And then we see the influence that the devil wants to take away, right? And so we see the roaring lion aspect of 1 Peter chapter 5. Would that not be an influence? Why is the devil a roaring lion? Seek whom he may devour, right? That certainly has an influence. Any other passages come to mind?
Brother Parker, I think of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost.
Yes?
And I guess, like, I think the whole chapter, but in particular, verse 41, when the 3,000 souls were saved.
There you go. And what is that? Verse 40 and 41, if you add 40 to that, with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation? He's asking them to let the word of God have an influence. Verse 41 is where they decide. They gladly received his word. And so they had, they allowed the influence of God's word to change them. Verse number 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they're continuing to allow the word of God to have an influence on their life and to change who they are into whom God wants them to be and desires for them to be, which is always a greater person than we were before, right? By the way, the idea of meekness and submission and obedience, do those words not as well ring with regards to influence? Certainly, if that's my part, I'm allowing the Word of God to have an influence on me. All right, other passages? Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11:6,
okay.
Sounds like without faith it's impossible to do.
There must be a without, yeah, without faith.
Yeah, well, there's no way to do anything without
faith. And the person there is allowing the Word of God to change his entire life. That's the crux of Hebrews 11, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and then add Romans 10:17 to that, right?
You also think about influence is not a good one, but 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money.
Okay, there you go.
The influence of money, love.
Ephesians 5:18.
Ephesians 5:18. Read that for us.
Do not get drunk with wine, in which a reckless disposition, but fail yourselves in wisdom.
Okay, two influences there, right? A bad influence and a good influence. The bad influence goes to what Randy was talking about. This is money, this is liquor, and they both have a powerful influence on the direction of humanity, right? Yes, ma'am.
Jude, verses 3 and 4, but really the whole letter. But he makes sure to, you know, remind us of what we should do.
Yes. And again, there's the influence of the Word of God, but also verse number 4, is the influence of false teachers and how they influence oftentimes. By the way, study how this is, I think, very important to our study of influence. Study how false teachers influence the church. Most of the time you will find that they do not do it above board. You will find phraseology. Even Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, right? They come to you as what? Sheep in wolf's clothing. Now, what does that tell you about the operation of, did I say sheep in wolf's clothing? Okay. They probably don't come with sheep in wolf's clothing, okay? Just so that we can get this on tape, they come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, we do have to get that right. Okay, very good. You know, I wouldn't have even caught that except I saw Brother Brian out there. He was cackling. all right, you were all cackling, I'm sure. But some of you didn't catch it either, so don't go there. But all right. So the deceptive nature of false teachers is identified by Jesus in that text. Proverbs 22, what is that, verse number 6, certainly identifies influence. A lot of the Proverbs statements identify influence. Chapter 5 and chapter 7, I believe it is, talks about that woman that he wanted his sons to stay far away from, and she dolls herself up so as to have an influence to bring him into her bedroom. And so there is that negative influence that was spoken of earlier. Yes.
So, speaking of the false prophets you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. but even look at the direction from Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 9, where he says, all that you have heard and seen and received in me, do. He's pointing to you where you should be influenced by, not by the false teachers, but by the ones that actually, the apostles that have been coming from Christ. So that to me is saying, hey, this is a direct influence. I'm trying to influence you.
Exactly. And you begin in chapter 3 with his dissertation on false teachers. And
what to think on in verse 8.
That's right. Exactly. Very good. Very good. Any other passages? Yes, sir.
2 Peter 1, 3 to about 9.
Okay.
Add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness.
Okay, in just a second here. That's 2 Peter 1. The add starts in verse number 5. I think 5 through 7 is the actual identifiers. And then the context of 3 through probably 12 deal with that influence. Yes. You would also, by the way, you would also throw in the fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes, things such as that. Those are passages that identify some amount of influence in our lives, or the influence that we are supposed to have in the lives of others. Very good. Okay, well, I guess that would be, if we did that, that would be Galatians 5. 20, is it 21? And then it would be Matthew 5, 3 through, what is it, 12 there on the Beatitudes. All right. Any other passages? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Titus 2,
okay. Yeah, absolutely. We're to have an influence on one another, aren't we? We're to teach one another. The older men teach the younger men. The older women teach. In fact, Doc Hall and I were talking about that just beforehand on the influence that we're to have with one another and how important that is. One of the lessons that we have specified during this quarter is our influence in the church. We are to have an influence. We are to exhort. To build up, to strengthen the body of Christ. I need to have an influence on members of the body of Christ. And if I don't have a good, solid influence, then I need to make some corrections. And that may mean that I need to spend a little bit more time with my brethren. Now, with some, it may mean that they need to spend a little less time, but a little bit more time encouraging, strengthening, sometimes even reproving and rebuking in regards to that. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Philippians 4 and verse number 8 there, right? Absolutely. Good. Anybody else?
Hebrews 10,
25. Well, let's throw in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. 24 and 25 go real good together. The exhortation that takes place in the assembly is vitally important to the influence. In fact, in the bulletin on the front page, I made reference to Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'll go ahead and put that. I didn't have that even in my notes, but Nehemiah 8. Let's go 1 through 12. But Nehemiah was able to collectively alter the congregation in a collective assembly. Now, I want you to think upon that for a little bit. We are family. We are a priesthood. We are an army. We are, and any kind of we are that you can insert in there biblically, everything about that demands some kind of public communication for direction to take place. And direction takes place best, most expediently, not when the preacher or the elders have to go to every individual in the congregation to change it, right? The better is when there is a collective assembly that takes place. So when you are not at Bible classes, this is a collective training center right now. So when I am constantly absenting my when I'm not here from the assembly, then I am not being influenced in the direction that the elders have laid out by the Word of God, I'm not moving with the congregation in that sense. That's just an assembly thing. It's the most expedient way in order to move and influence people toward the right direction or a bad direction in that case. We see that exemplified in Nehemiah chapter 8. You see the whole congregation at the end of that weeping because they did not have access to the Word of God properly. And they are told not to weep, but to be joyful because this day the Word of God was preached unto them. And then collectively they see that there are alterations that need to be made. So the assembly of the saints on Sunday, and we're going through Vacation Bible School. We have a gospel meeting. Why do you suppose we have those items? Anyone? Why do you suppose that assemblies and assemblies even outside the Sunday morning assembly are encouraged?
Influence
is the key word that we're talking about, right?
Building our relationships with each other.
Building up. By the way, if you influence, then you build relationships with one another, right? That's the way it's designed to work. And so you go back to Hebrews, and let's just go ahead and just seeing that was referenced, and we're talking about it in regards to the Old Testament. Let's just look at Hebrews 10, verse 24. And verse 24 is the ending of a series of hortatory exclamations by the Apostle Paul. Let us draw near in verse number 22. Let us hold fast in verse number 23. And then in verse number 24, let us consider one another. So when we're talking about the assembly, we're talking about one another, right? We're talking about how to consider one another and to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly. See, the sentence is continuing there from that let us statement. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But now notice this. Exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. There is an exhortation. There is a calling to the side of God in our assemblies. That's what this word means. It's a summons, basically. We're summoning one another to the side of God so that we can be strengthened in this. That's influence. Now, in this case, the design is rather than one-on-one influence, it's a collective influence. Thus, when we sing our songs, the singing of our songs is in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, reciprocal in nature. It is designed so that you're singing to me, I'm singing to you, and we're all singing to God in the sense that we're praising, adoring, and worshiping Him in that song. So the communication at that particular point is simply off the charts. Because not only am I singing to y'all, but I'm singing to you and to you and to you. I'm exhorting and encouraging whatever that song is. I am singing to every single individual within this congregation. I'm lifting up my voice to be heard in the assembly so that others can be edified and strengthened. That's a part of the design of the assembly. So you could say that Colossians 3:16, right? And Ephesians 5:19 are designed with that in mind. It's influence. You could also list all five acts of worship in regards to that. We've just chosen one. Yes, sir.
You know, when we look at reasonableness here, what I hear you saying is, you know, we have one person trying to influence the other, but the other person has to have a heart and a spirit of receptivity. So that Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another, we must come together and worship, or wherever we're praising God, and have the heart and spirit that we're willing to be taught and admonished. And then what you just said here in Hebrews 10:24, let us provoke one another into love and good works. We got to make sure we have the heart and the spirit that we'll be allowed to be provoked in the right manner.
And that's an excellent point. And you realize that the importance of this, if we go to maybe our next question, what is the importance of influence? Well, number one, if you just look at this and what we've just said, you should gather that this is a really important topic. Even though the actual word influence is never used in my King James Bible. I don't know about more modern translations, but the word influence is not used. But as I mentioned at the beginning of this, there are at least 10 Greek words and 4 Hebrew words that particularly deal with influence. And I would, as I mentioned earlier, I would suggest to you that even something as simple as an overshadowing or a shadow suggests influence in regards to this. And so that certainly deals with it. If you're in 104 degree heat, as it was yesterday, where that's at least what my phone kept telling me as I was trying to do some work outside. I didn't do a whole lot because I'm an old fat man and I'm broken down, and you can only do so much at that point. You have to know your limitations when it gets over 100. But this sun had an influence on my ability to work, right? But I will tell you this, that shade tree and that cool breeze that come around, that had a real good influence on me at that time. But when I walked into that air-conditioned house and I sat in that, well, it's not really a lazy boy, but when I sat in my lazy boy and I relaxed, and I just kind of went like this and started snoring, that had a great influence on me. And my sleep last night, I would have not been tolerable today if it had not been for the influence of my sleep. See, there are a lot of things that have influence on us that we normally don't think of when we talk about influence. So just to throw it out, the importance of influence. As Jesus said on one occasion to a young man, how do you see it? How seest thou, I think the King James says, but yes.
It's needed on our journey to heaven if you're trying to make heaven your home.
Ah, we got to have, listen. Anybody ever heard of a GPS system? I know none of us men have ever heard of a GPS system. Mine just keeps saying recalculating. And I don't know what she means by that. But no, a GPS system is designed for a journey, right? And it's designed to influence the direction we go or do not go, right?
Yes.
And so we need direction. By the way, we did not put up here, we certainly could have, Jeremiah 10:23, right? Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Right? So, we could look up, Proverbs, is it 12:14 or 14:12? I think it's 12:14. I have about 50 scriptures written down here. Some of them we got to, some of them we did not. But they're all about influence and the importance of influence in our lives. So the importance of influence, it's important because we have to have direction on the journey. Very good point. What else?
Hebrews 10:35.
35. Help us out. Hebrews 10:35.
So do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward.
There you go. By the way, a reward, we just start at the end of that divine statement, so that you don't throw away your reward. We recognize our reward, right, as the blessings that we possess, not only the here and now, John 10, and verse number 10, right? But also in the hereafter, there is a great reward. And you can throw away the rewards you have even here. A lot of people throw away the rewards they have in brotherhood when they leave the church. They're seeking a brotherhood outside the church that is not going to influence and affect them spiritually and in their spiritual thought process. But they have a brotherhood somewhere else, and so they leave this brotherhood for another brotherhood. They're influenced by a different party at that particular time. So there is a reward here, but the eternal spiritual reward is heaven itself, to be eternally with the Lord God Almighty and divinity. See, that's where we want to be. So don't throw that away, you see, is what he's talking about. That context is beautiful, by the way, in not being influenced to do those things that would help us to throw that away. Yes, ma'am.
Mom always said, don't act the way you, don't feel the way you can't.
You got my tongue tied this morning.
If you feel bad, don't act that way, in other words.
Don't act the way you feel oftentimes. But our feelings change so often, do they not? How many times do you suppose that your feelings about something have even changed just since the time that we've been together? And so, not a good guide for our direction, right? Very good. Yes, ma'am.
I think about Proverbs 15:1, salt gets a transparent ground, harsh winds are ignorant. I think of that Aesop's fable, you know, the sun and the wind and the contest, and the wind blew really hard and the wind just wrapped its coat around the tiger, but the sun shone on them brightly and the wind and the air coat off. Like sometimes the way that we approach people can help them be more receptive.
Excellent point. And by the way, on the salt and light, Paul to the Colossian brethren, chapter 4 and verse number 6, adds to what you are saying with regards to let our words be seasoned properly. That is one of the passages that I have down in my notes with regards to that. How we treat people has an influence. And so it has an influence in the community when we're dealing with the community. It has an influence with our brethren. It has an influence in our homes. How we, you know, I've mentioned this before, but it's been a while, that oftentimes we will say things to people in our own family that we would not dare say to a complete stranger. Because we feel so much more comfortable with them, we will say things that we would not say to a complete stranger, because we would hold our tongue with regards to that stranger, but we would not with regards to those in our family. And so I think you bring up an excellent point there, even in our own community. All right? Yes, sir.
Another one I think that ties in with some of these is Hebrews 12, where it talks about chastening, and we don't like to bring that one up too often, but it has a tremendous influence on the community. Whether they see hypocrisy in what we say that we're going to do or not.
The chastening of the Lord, absolutely. And by the way, you think about when you read the Bible, we mentioned, maybe we didn't put it up here, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is where we started this, and the idea of influence. When you look at that particular passage and you see what the Word of God accomplishes, is designed to accomplish in our lives, then you will find that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. There's influence that God is exerting by the very fact that He is speaking, you see. Our words have power to them, and they influence. And that goes back to both of these passages right here. They have influence either way, for good or bad, and we need to understand that. But notice here he says, and is profitable. The Word of God, the words that God speaks to us, that is, His Word is profitable. There's profit here. Now that's influence, right? There's profit for us. So what is the influence of God's Word in our life? There are four items that are listed there, right? It's profitable for King James says doctrine. Okay, that's teaching, right? So it teaches us how to act. It teaches us the way that we should go. It teaches us when we should halt, when we should stop, when we should have these cautionary signs. So it's profitable for doctrine. Now it's profitable also for what? Okay, reproof. Is that two F's or two O's? I'll just do it with two F's. It's probably two O's. Reproof. Now, reproof is a legal term, by the way. And it simply identifies bringing an accusation of wrongdoing. So the Word of God is designed to influence us in what it teaches, its doctrine. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, doctrine. Okay? Speak the things, Titus 2 and verse number 1, which befit sound doctrine. Is the ideal there. Now, it's also in reproof. It also it has an indictment against us when we do that which is wrong. This is why the passages in Jeremiah are so important when it says that he was in a society which could no longer feel shame for what it was engaged in its immoral acts. They couldn't feel shame in regards to how they acted. And so, but that's the reproof. Then there is the ideal, what you say, correction, right? Okay, correction is getting us back on course. Now, if the Word of God stopped right here with reproof, we would all be in a lot of danger, you see. But it doesn't stop there. The Word of God tells us how to get back on track. That's what the word correction means. You know, we always look at correction as a bad thing, you see. But the correction is designed to tell us how to get back on course. Not just that reproof tells us we're wrong. Correction tells us how to get back on course. Sometimes our instruction, even within families, stop with reproof. It stops right here with the telling of this is wrong, but it never tells them how to get back on course. How do I get out of this particular bad habit that I'm engaged in? The Word of God tells us how to do that, you see. That's correction. And then the final one is instruction. Right? In righteousness. All right? In other words, when we get back on track, it tells us how to continue to stay on track. That's the ideal of the Word of God. Now, all of this is God-breathed. It's designed to have influence on humanity. And in fact, the Word of God is the greatest divine object of influence that is here amongst us.
Amen.
Well, I'm not saying that we're not influenced by other things stronger than the Word of God in our own lives. But what I am saying is there is nothing more powerful than God's Word to influence. That is Romans 1:16. And by the way, let's just look at that. We've looked at this before. I know you know the passage, Romans 1:16. There he talks about the fact that the Word of God is the power of God. But notice the power to influence that God has enveloped on the pages of Scripture is for salvation, right? You remember how he starts this verse? This really tells us the amount of influence the Word of God had on the one who's doing the speak or the writing at this particular time. Remember how it started? I'm not ashamed, you see. Now that's influence, you see. That's the influence that I've allowed this word. Yes, sir.
Well, on this very topic, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, be glorified, or another translation says, may spread rapidly. But the counter is there in verse 2 where it says, many unreasonable and wicked men are out there and they have not faith. There is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. It has to be preached. Paul was praying and asking that it would be spread rapidly. because he knew how powerful it was.
And that goes back to the passage you brought up earlier, even with regards to, where did we put it on the board? Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, by the way. Without faith, it is impossible.
So when I ask ourselves, why is our culture changing so much due to the influence? It's because of unreasonable, wicked men have not faith.
And our willingness to follow them. You see, and that's that added ideal there that Hebrews, I have to have faith in the faith, right? And so, yes?
That's Christ's doctrine, the faith.
There you go, that's exactly right. And so Romans, he talks about, by the way, 1 and 2 Thessalonians has a great deal to say about influence. It's almost a study within itself of influence. Because I think in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, he talks about, or 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the word of God going forth from you and your example being spread to Macedonia and Achaia and wherever your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Well, what is that? The influence of the Thessalonians, right?
I cannot do all the teaching and preaching for everyone.
That's right.
We have to go out and be convicted enough to do things, to say things, very frankly. That shows the influence that we really
have. Absolutely. Absolutely. So very good start on our concept of influence, and we'll continue this study throughout this 13 weeks. Thank you.